There will come a day for each of us when we leave this earth and cross over to the great unknown. As believers, we hold fast to our faith. It's a place we've never been. It's the great mystery. Let's say you knew it was coming. You had one night left on this planet. What would you say to your friends, your family? What would you want them to remember when you were gone? Jesus knew he was about to make that journey. Newly arrived in Jerusalem, he'd gathered with his disciples for one last Passover meal. The atmosphere outside was tense, and inside, the disciples had been arguing with one another, feuding for his favor. Who would be most important? Who would get to sit at his right hand? Instead of declaring who would be in charge of what, Jesus filled a basin with water, draped a simple towel over his arm. He knelt before each one of them, washing their feet and scrubbing their hearts. Outside, the religious leaders were plotting Jesus' death, and inside, he's giving his followers a mandate, a command. Live humbly. Serve sacrificially. And love others the way that I loved you. That last statement is everything. Jesus was about to show the world exactly what it looked like.
So we are finishing up our Easter series tonight, a super short series. Last week, we looked at this idea of Jesus' prayer that he said in front of his disciples on the last night before he was arrested, and it was this simple reminder that as Jesus went to the cross, he had you on his mind. And that whole lesson is on our YouTube channel on Facebook if you want to check it out. But here's the thing. The extreme amount of value that you hold knowing that Jesus had you on his mind as he went to the cross is astronomical. That gives you so much value, and I hope that you will catch that, that you can check out that lesson. Tonight, we are simply looking at this idea of Jesus saying, it's finished, it's done, I did it, as he hangs there on the cross. In 2008, Kirsten and I had been married just over a year, and it was coming into the Christmas season. We were celebrating our second Christmas together, and we were super excited for the Christmas season. We were super excited to go Black Friday shopping together. Now, I know in the last few years, Black Friday shopping has changed a ton. Now it's a lot online. There are like multiple days you can go Black Friday shopping, but back in 2008, there was one day for Black Friday shopping. Stores were closed on Thanksgiving, but they opened up at like 6 a.m. on the day after Thanksgiving, and all the deals were that one day. You had to go that day to get the deals, and to get the good deals, you had to go really, really early. Well, in 2008, a little game came out called Guitar Hero World Tour. I know it's a super old game at this point, but has anybody played it? All right, a few of you. Great game. In 2008, this was like the hottest game that came out in the Christmas season. It came out in October of 2008, but for some reason, I don't remember why, but supplies were super limited. So stores would get like three copies of the game in, and they would go immediately. They'd be sold out. The game was, and look at this. I actually went online and found the Black Friday ad for Target from 2008, very front page of the Black Friday ad. Guitar Hero World Tour, normally $100, but Black Friday sale, $60. And Kirsten and I were like, that would be awesome. Target said they had a limited supply, doors open at 6 a.m., If you can get there, you can get your copy for $60. And so Kirsten and I were like, all right, we are going to try to get this copy of Guitar Hero World Tour. It would be a blast to spend hours just playing Guitar Hero together. Isn't it incredible the amount of the lengths that people will go to get something that they really, really want, or to get something that is super, super valuable? Like, people will show up for Black Friday back in the day hours early, standing out in the cold in order to get that prime item that they just have to have for the Christmas season. Gamers, maybe some of you have done this. I know I have done this just once, but I have done this. Will sleep out in tents in the cold, camped out outside of stores to get the newest console on the day that it comes out. And will go to incredible lengths to make sure that they get exactly what they want. It is incredible the lengths that people will go to get the items that they find are valuable. Last week, we talked about how Jesus made his thoughts on your value clear. He said you were valuable. You were worth everything that he was about to go through. And he wanted to make sure that he spent forever, starting right now, with you. And he said you were valuable enough to go through whatever he has to go through in order to make that happen. And in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus shares his plan to his disciples. Because when we want something that's super valuable, when we want something that, like, maybe a limited supply, maybe it's something that you've been chasing for a long time, like, you come up with a plan for it, don't you? And Jesus shared his plan. He said to his disciples, listen, this is something I've got to do, because the people that I'm going to save, both the people that are alive now and you guys that he had on his mind personally, he said they are worth this plan. And so here's what I'm going to do. He said this: as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he took the 12 aside. I love this image. Like, you see Jesus and he's coming into Jerusalem. And of course, I'm sure, now I don't know this, but I'm sure there were like crowds of people around Jesus. And it says he took the 12 aside, and I can just picture them kind of huddling up like, all right. And Jesus gets down and goes, guys, here's the plan. And the disciples, they're like, sweet, here it comes. Here it comes. This is going to be the plan. And kind of like what they said in that video that we just watched, fighting over who was going to be the greatest. They're going to be like, Jesus is going to come in. He's going to bust some heads. He's going to be like the king of all kings. He's going to sit on the throne. He's going to make everything right. It's going to be this incredible earthly kingdom. And he pulls them aside. He says, all right, guys, listen up. Here's the plan. You ready? He said, look, we're going into Jerusalem, the human one, me. We'll be handed over to the chief priests and the legal experts. They'll condemn him to death. They'll hand him over to the Gentiles to be ridiculed, tortured, and crucified. But he'll be raised on the third day. That's Jesus' plan. That's his plan to capture our hearts. This was not the first time he shared this plan with his disciples either. This is actually the third time he shared his plan with his disciples. The first time he shared this plan with his disciples, one of his disciples was like, dude, Jesus, you're nuts. You're crazy. This is not the way it's going to happen. And Jesus was like, by the way, I'm in charge. So this is the plan. This is what's going to happen. Second time he shared his plan with his disciples, the disciples were like super confused because they expected an earthly kingdom. They didn't really know what was going on. And so Jesus shared again his plan with his disciples. Here's why I tell you this. The cross, everything that happened to Jesus, the things that we hear about on Easter that we focus on, the beatings and the torture and all that stuff, that was planned. None of that caught Jesus off guard. None of that was like Jesus walking in going, holy cow, I did not expect this to happen. No, Jesus had a plan, and he was like, all right, I got this plan. I am going to make this plan happen. And do you know why I'm going to make this plan happen? Because there are people alive now and alive in the future that I am picturing in my mind that are worth every single part of this plan. I'm going to make it happen. And really think about it. For those of you that have maybe made a plan for something you really want, I'm sure all of us have done this. We talk about the plan, don't we? We make the plan, we talk about the plan, we share the plan with our friends, we share the plan with our parents. Maybe it's a Christmas gift, and so suddenly you have this plan. You're like, Mom and Dad, what about this? Mom and Dad, what about this? Mom and Dad, and like you've got this plan. Like if you can just place it in your parents' minds enough, maybe it's a plan where like you're like, okay, here in a few years, I'm going to start driving. And so I'm going to start like not going to the movies right now and not buying that stuff that I want so that when I turn 16, I'm ready to buy a car and have my own car. And the lengths that we go to accomplish the plans that we have for the stuff that we really want, we can go to some pretty incredible lengths to get the things that we want, to make our plans happen. And so in Christmas of 2008, Kirsten and I were like, all right, our plan is to get Guitar Hero. And so we celebrated Thanksgiving Day, we got all the ads, and so when you get the ads, you would get all the ads, you would circle all the stuff you'd want, you'd find the store that had the best deals and the best stuff that you want, and you'd make sure you got to those stores first. And we knew that Target opened at 6 a.m. on the day after Thanksgiving. We knew that this game was hot enough that people would start showing up before 6 a.m. to get in line to stand in the cold to make sure that they got in and got the items that they wanted. And so Kirsten and I were like, all right, here's the plan. Celebrate Thanksgiving with our families. We'll go to bed. We're going to wake up at 2 a.m. We're going to get dressed up. We check the weather, which I actually, man, I'm such a nerd. I went back and looked up the weather for 2008. We were in Bloomington at that time, in Bloomington. It was a low of 30 degrees that night, wind chill not included. And so we're like, all right, we're waking up at 2 a.m. We're going to layer up. We're going to bundle up. Our goal is to be at Target by 3 a.m., and we will stand outside Target for 3 hours and pack some snacks, pack some water, make sure we're ready to go. We'll stand there for 3 hours in the freezing cold, and we'll make sure we get in there and we get our copy of the game. That was our plan. And so I remember that Thanksgiving, we were like, guys, we went to our family's house, we're like, we're getting Guitar Hero World Tour. Like, that's our plan. And we shared it with people, and we talked it over with each other, and we kind of formulated the plan and, you know, made sure everything was hashed out. And listen, that's what we do when we have something that we really, really want. We don't take plans lightly. We didn't show up outside of Target in, like, pants and a t-shirt when it's 30 degrees. No, we made sure everything was planned out and we were ready to go. And that's what Jesus did as he went to the cross for you. He made sure everything was planned out. He didn't take this plan lightly. He made sure that he was ready to go and his plan would be accomplished. And so he went to the cross for you. And he began to talk about it with his disciples. He began to say, hey guys, look, here's what's going to happen. And when they would be like, no, you're crazy, he'd be like, guys, this is what's going to happen. Like, the people that I'm saving are valuable enough that this is going to happen. This is the plan. And he shared it over and over and over again. And he said, this is what's got to happen, guys. I wonder, and this is just my own thoughts, so again, you know, every once in a while I do this where like I throw my own thoughts into what's happening in the Bible narrative, so take that with a grain of salt, but here's my own thoughts. I wonder if Jesus shared his plan with his disciples because he was nervous but also excited. I know that sounds weird, like Jesus being excited to go to the cross. Like the thing we focus on every single Easter is like Jesus is tortured and Jesus is beaten and Jesus is betrayed and Jesus is spit on and punched and all that stuff. Like CJ, you're saying Jesus is excited for that. But hear me out. I wonder if he talked about the plan with his disciples so much. This is the third time that he's mentioned his plan because he was nervous, yet he was excited. He was nervous because there were some things he didn't want to experience, but he was excited about what the cross would bring. He was nervous because there were some things that were going to make him uncomfortable, obviously. But he was excited because he knew when it was done, he would have your heart. He would have my heart. There would be an opportunity that we would get to spend forever with him. And here's the thing. Whenever we create plans, these elaborate plans that we create to get something that we really, 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 really want, there is always a part of the plan that is uncomfortable. Think about it. There is always a part of the plan that is uncomfortable. There's always a part of the plan that if that's the only part of the plan you experience, you're like, I'm out. Going to Target. If the only thing that I experience from going to Target is sitting out in 30-degree weather for 3 hours, and that's it, I'm out. I'm not going to do it. But at the end of the day, the outcome of the plan is always worth pursuing the plan. At the end of the day, the outcome of the plan is totally worth going forward. It's totally worth going forward with everything that you've planned out. I was excited to spend Black Friday shopping. Kirsten and I were excited to spend the day together shopping. Like, we just love being with each other. It's our favorite thing, like just being around each other, hanging out, doing stuff together. And so we were pumped to go Black Friday shopping. But waking up at 2 a.m., not necessarily one of our favorite things. Like, if we had to choose, we're going to sleep a little bit later. Going out and standing in 30-degree weather, not a comfortable thing. Matter of fact, my wife despises the cold, hates the cold. Like, one of her least favorite things is to be cold. Hates it. But you know what? The outcome of the plan, getting Guitar Hero, spending hours playing Guitar Hero together, was worth moving forward with the plan. You guys, as you think about the cross, Jesus was nervous going toward the cross. There were things that were going to make him uncomfortable, things he did not want to experience. But he had created this specific plan and was willing to move forward with those experiences because he knew the outcome, spending eternity with you, was completely worth everything he was going to go through, completely worth everything that he was going to experience. Look again at what Jesus says in Matthew. Look, we're going up to Jerusalem. The human one, me, will be handed over to the chief priests and the legal experts. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to be ridiculed, tortured, and crucified. But he will be raised on the third day. November 28th, 2008, alarm went off at 2 o'clock a.m. Kirsten and I woke up. We ate some breakfast. We got bundled up. We got layered up. We got in the car. We drove to Target. We were there right about 3 a.m., and we were the second people in line. And we stood there in the freezing cold weather, and I remember this phrase we kept saying to each other. We were like, all right, sun's going to rise soon, and then it'll get warmer. Sun's going to rise soon, and then it'll get warmer. But here's the thing, is that until the sun rises, it just keeps getting colder and colder and colder and colder. We were freezing. And I remember the doors opened at 6 a.m. and we rushed into the warm Target air. And I remember rushing back to the desk. And of course, there's crowds of people everywhere. And this employee is holding one final copy of Guitar Hero and they hand it to me. And I'm like, yes! Like, in that moment, I was like, this is awesome! Like, I've got it! Woo! Right? I'm like, pumped! I am so excited. Like, I've got it. I'm like, this everything was worth it. This whole day, this whole moment, waking up at 2, standing out in the cold. And Kirsten and I went home that afternoon. We popped it in our Nintendo Wii. I know, old school Nintendo Wii. And we're like, yeah, right? We were just pumped that we were getting to play Guitar Hero World Tour. Like, we were one of the, like, I think they only had like 6 copies of it. We're like, we got one. We were just absolutely excited. You guys, John chapter 18, Jesus says this. After this, knowing that everything was already completed, in order to fulfill this scripture, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." And a jar full of sour wine was nearby, so the soldiers soaked a sponge in it and placed it on a hyssop branch, and they held it up to his lips. And when he had received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It is completed." And bowing his head, he gave up his life. Now, I have always read this scripture, Jesus hanging there on the cross, and like every time I've heard this preached, every time I've read about this, I'm thinking Jesus is in pain, he's in agony, and he's like, "Oh, it's done." But I wonder if in this moment, Jesus is like, "It's done, I did it! Woo! Holy cow, guess what? Eternity with you, it's on forever, I did it, the plan's over, done!" Like, the excitement that he must have felt in that moment. I'm not saying that it's similar to holding a Wii U game, but the excitement that he must have felt in that moment must have been like, "Oh, I got it! I did it! It's done! It's complete!" And it's just this year that I'm thinking about this in a different way. I'm thinking Jesus hanging on the cross was probably like, "Dude, it's completed! It's done! The plan has worked perfectly." And in that moment, I wonder if he did a God thing, and again, you were on his mind. I wonder if he pictured, I'm confident, he pictured you and me. You know, in that moment when I was holding Guitar Hero World Tour, I was thinking, this is going to be awesome playing this for hours with my wife. And when Jesus was on the cross and he's saying, "It is completed," I can only imagine that he is thinking, "It is going to be awesome spending eternity with you." Incredible. You know, we tend to look at Easter and the cross, and rightfully so, it's a somber moment. Jesus went through a lot for us. But I think sometimes we focus so much on the somber of the moment that we miss the excitement of what the moment was all about. Man, Jesus made a plan. He accomplished the plan for us. And when he says it is completed, he was pumped because he knew, man, eternity is on the horizon. And it starts now, and I have now a chance to spend eternity with you. And he knew that everything that he went to the cross for and everything that he accomplished was worth spending it with you, spending eternity with you. You were worth every single bit of the experience that was the cross. And that was Jesus' plan. So as you celebrate Easter this year, please don't miss the excitement of the moment. As you hear Easter lessons and sermons, and as you read scriptures and you hear Jesus saying, "It is finished," man, think about the excitement that must have been in Jesus' heart and mind in that moment. It's finished. It's done. I did it. I completed it. It's over. I get to spend eternity with you. As you celebrate this year, don't get so caught up in the sorrow that you miss the joy. Don't get so caught up in the sorrow that you miss the joy. I would encourage you this week, this is the practical challenge this week. This week, don't miss the joy that is, it is completed. Don't miss the joy that is found in those words for you personally. That Jesus went to the cross, he created a plan, he went to the cross with you in mind for you personally. And so my challenge for you this week is every morning, Just read that phrase or say that phrase to yourself. It is completed. He did it. It's done. And it was all worth it for you. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you so much for Easter, and thank you so much for...